So this is Matthew 21, verses 1 to 7. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And then we've got a reading from John as well. John 12, verse 16 to 19. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Let's pray for David. Do you want to come up, David, and we'll pray for you. Lord, I thank you so much for David. Lord, I thank you that he is your son. Lord, thank you that he's willing to come and preach on your word. May you speak through him this morning. Amen.
Amen. Morning. At the beginning of our time together, I'm going to get Tim to play a video. Now, this is a video by Jay John. Some of you may know him or have heard of him. Jay John is an evangelist working for the Church of England. I think at one point he may still be an honorary canon of Coventry Cathedral, but he's much loved. He has a great gift of communication. We've got a little two-minute video just to focus our mind a little bit this morning in a way that I would never capture your imagination. So over to Jay John.
I was speaking to this at this pastor's conference, and the MC said, "Oh, Jay John, how shall I introduce you?" And I said, "Well, just say this. Our next speaker is a donkey." He goes, "I'm not saying that." I said, "You just asked me how to introduce me." I said, "That's what I want you to say. Our next speaker is a donkey." "No," he goes, I'm not. I said, "That is what I want you to say." So he gets on and he mucks it all up. He doesn't do a good job. He goes, "Our next speaker, well, it's Jay John, but he said that he's a donkey." And he didn't do it very well, you know. So it wasn't very good, really. And then I came on, and you know it, you know the story, and I reminded them of Jesus riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, and the donkey thought it was all about him. And he was so excited. It's like, "I can't believe it. The people love me. They love me. They love me. I've not been out. This is my first outing. And they think I'm amazing." And they laid their clothes on the floor so I don't have to muddy my feet. I mean, what kind of a life is this? But we all know, don't we, what happened to the donkey when they got to Jerusalem. You never, ever heard of him again. We carry Jesus.
Yes.
And it's all about Jesus.
does well. The prime point to pick up from our readings this morning from that little video is those simple words. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So the prime point that we're going to be thinking this morning about Jesus particularly. And Jesus, firstly, knew his Bible. Crucially, he knew its message. He knew its truth. So he knew Zechariah 9:9, which we've heard about already. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus was very careful to follow the plan. Time and time again, we read in Scripture, Jesus did this to fulfill the prophecy in the Old Testament. Jesus knew that God had a plan for mankind, a plan of salvation, and he was very careful to follow that wherever he could. So he rode a donkey. He came in as a king, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey, fulfilling prophecy, fulfilling Scripture, fulfilling its truth. You see, he didn't want to ride in on a horse. And as he explained that, he didn't want to ride in on a horse. That would have been a sign of war. Coming on a donkey was a sign of peace. Some of you may remember, or some of you may have heard about the end of the Second World War, when the Turks had been in control in Jerusalem, but they realized the way the war was going and they cleared off. They absolutely emptied out of Jerusalem, leaving it ready for the British to come in and take over. There was a fairly unedifying scramble between the British commanders at various levels who wanted to get in there first for the glory of being the first people to come into Jerusalem. Eventually, it was General Allenby who stamped his foot and said, I'm the one who's going to go in first. I think he said that because he really wanted to do what he ended up doing, which was that he rode in at the end of the Second World War into Jerusalem on a donkey. He didn't come in a tank. He didn't come on a horse. They would have been signs of war. He wanted to send the message that this was peace for Jerusalem. So he rode in on a donkey, mirroring what Jesus had done that long time before. Jerusalem at this stage was incredibly busy. It was Passover. And how many people were in Jerusalem? I tried to look up this, and the closest I got to was some words of William Barclay, who came up with the fact that there had been a census of the number of lambs that had been sacrificed in Passover at about this time in Jerusalem. That number was 256,000 lambs had been sacrificed. Apparently 10 people to one lamb. 2.5 million people would have been in Jerusalem at about this time. Jerusalem wasn't that big. The place would have been absolutely teeming with people at this time. So Jesus, as he came in, knew that he was sending a message to a lot of people. And the people, of course, thought of the Zechariah reference to a king as a king of war, as we've said, coming to be the conqueror of Romans, whereas Jesus was sending a message that he was coming as a conqueror of sin, coming as a bringer of peace. He was, after all, the Prince of Peace. This was hard for the people to understand, but they responded, understanding who he was. So they responded in three ways. Firstly, they recognized him as the son of David. And there we are. Hosanna to the son of David, they shouted. This title, of course, refers to Jesus as the literal descendant of the king of King David. But it also is a messianic phrase. It's a title identifying Jesus as the rightful heir to King David's throne and the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. The lineage through both Mary and Joseph highlights his legal and biological right to rule an everlasting kingdom. He was the deliverer of Israel. But of course, much, much more, which the people of Jerusalem didn't understand at this point. They and others did, however, recognize his authority, the Son of David, his power, his royal status. So the people recognized him as the Son of David. They recognized him as the deliverer. The people also recognized he came in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord being so important to the Jews that they could not bring themselves to physically say that name. They knew that when they recognized his name, it told of who he was and who he is and his character, his very character. Coming in the name of the Lord was for Jesus to come speaking of and living as the God of creation, the Master who's sovereign, the Almighty, the Most High, the Provider, the Healer, the Prince of Peace. The list goes on. It would have been recognized by those who saluted Jesus as coming in the name of the Lord. They recognize him as coming as deliverer. They recognize in coming as the name of the Lord all that that meant in terms of the character and truth about their God. And then they realized that they needed salvation, hence shouting, Hosanna, save us or deliver us. A king who brings peace, not war, who is almighty, the creator. The people were looking forward in shouting, Hosanna, to shout of their salvation. Perhaps they thought of physical salvation, being saved from the Romans and being killed, when we actually know from 1 Peter that this shout speaks of the ultimate goal of the Christian faith, which is the salvation of our souls. The final future inheritance of glory and eternal life with Christ. The people, when welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem, absolutely hit the spot. Perhaps didn't realize, perhaps they didn't realize the totality of what they were saying. And of course, it soon faded away, leaving Jesus utterly alone in Gethsemane, for example. They recognized him as deliverer. They recognized him as coming of the name of the Lord, with all that meant about the character of God. And they recognized the need for salvation, save us. Perhaps thinking on a physical way, but speaking so much about the absolute truth, the spiritual truth that we are celebrating now. Yet some didn't recognize him. Some asked, who is this? This was honest and actually reflects the response of many today when they say, who was Jesus? Who is this Jesus you're talking about? One of the beauties of the Alpha Course, for example, is they explain so carefully who Jesus is. If you ever listen to any of the great evangelists, they speak of Jesus, because knowing Jesus and the salvation that comes from that is, of course, what it's all about. It's the goal of our faith. Yet others replied that Jesus, when people said, who is this Jesus? Some people replied, well, he's a prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. These folk recognized who he was, but not who he was. Many today recognize Jesus as a good man, a good teacher, a figure in history, but don't recognize him as their savior. Any of you who've read the book by C.S. Lewis called Mere Christianity might remember a wonderful passage from that where he simply says, look, people say Jesus was a good teacher, he was a good man, and he says, look, this is nonsense. When you look at the words that Jesus said about himself, that he was the Son of God, it's either true, and I think C.S. Lewis uses the phrase, or he's a madman who's got the, what's the phrase, the mentality of a man with a poached egg or something like that. That middle ground isn't the case. Good man, teacher, no, nonsense. he's either who he says he is, or he's a madman. No middle ground. As Easter approaches, it's a great opportunity for us to share our knowledge and joy of Jesus, rather than just eggs and bunnies. A lot of fun eggs and bunnies are as well, but he was not just a prophet from Nazareth. He was so much more. And then I'm just going to read again the verses from John, which adds another dimension to the story of Palm Sunday. At first, his disciples didn't understand all of this that we've been talking about. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him. These things had been done to him. Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. Look how the whole world has gone after him. The Pharisees were speaking with truth and with foresight, even if they didn't recognize it. Look how the whole world has gone after him. Can you think of a verse in John that speaks about the whole world? For God so loved the whole world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The lesson from Palm Sunday is about God's plan for mankind in detail. Jesus coming as the Son of David, the Deliverer. Jesus coming in the name of the Lord, the Creator, the Master, the Sovereign, the Almighty, the Most High, the Protector, the Provider, the Healer, the Prince of Peace, and many other names. Jesus coming as Saviour. Remember what 1 Peter 1:9 says, that salvation is the goal of our faith. Palm Sunday is a microcosm of God's plan for mankind. Jesus coming as a conqueror of sin, as foretold for the whole world, as the Pharisees realized or prophesied, whether they realized it or not, we don't know. Go back to J. John, Palm Sunday, it's all about Jesus. Could we return to the donkey just briefly, having said that? By way of conclusion to J. John and his donkey. The donkey is given the privilege in his life to carry Jesus. It's all about Jesus. J. John didn't pick up particularly. But for us, when we're given a task by the Lord, do we carry him into all areas of our life? Do we carry him into our homes, our families, our relationships, our workplaces? Do we, by showing Jesus to others, effectively tell of God's plan for mankind and the whole world? A place, a plan of sin defeated and salvation, the goal of our faith. Do our lives tell others? It's all about Jesus.